Welcome back to the Wall Street Shuffle. I'm your host, Dan Stewart. And on the phone line, we have the one and the only, the Magombo Guru, who was a former contributor to the Daily Reckoning, but now he's retired. I bet you're in your bunker with a scotch. No.
Other things. How you doing, Dan?
Good. No scotch. Is it whiskey? What is it?
It's the kind of whiskey. That's true. Yes.
On the rocks or straight up?
Well, as long as it's a single malt, either way.
Well, good. I like a man that's not all that particular.
That's me.
Okay.
I mean, to please, I'm always satisfied with the very best.
Speaking of the very best, gold has been showing some very strong resilience over the past week or two while everything's kind of gotten a little jittery. But silver is really the one that had the big day today. Silver was up almost 5%. Gold was up about, you know, almost two-thirds, not quite. The first question I always like to ask you, if you had $10,000, where would you put it? Gold, silver?
Silver, Dan.
You still like the silver?
Oh, man, do I ever. This latest swoon in the price of silver, everybody's got an explanation for it. And there's probably a lot of, and they're probably all valid to one degree or another. But basically, it all boils down to this is the price today. It's the biggest bargain you'll see in a long, long time.
I'll tell you, the biggest reason for the big sell-off is they rose margin requirements four times in 2 weeks. I mean, if that doesn't, you know, affect your price, I don't know what does. I think Shane has a question here for you.
Well, I've always got questions about silver because I'm kind of a new investor in silver, so I'm kind of watching I bought in about a month ago. So my question is that over the past week after they raised the margin requirements, it seemed like there was a little lag time, and then it started going down and down and down, and now it seems like it's slowly going back up. Is that a trend that you think is going to continue? I mean, we've seen 40, 42. Are we going back up over that?
You bet we are, Shane. There's no doubt in my military mind because the value of the dollar is going to continue to go down.
Hey, hold on. You're a military guy? Are you ex-service?
Well, I was, but I was a very poor one.
What branch of the service did you go into, Magombo?
What's that?
What branch of the service did you go into?
I was in the Army.
U.S. Army.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I didn't know. See, we're kindred spirits. We're both Army guys, ex-Army guys. Yeah. See?
Oh, I'll be darned.
I knew it. I knew we had more in common. Okay, so gold is over that $1,500 mark, and it doesn't seem like it's going to – it's kind of played around with that $1,500 mark, but it doesn't look like it's going anything but up from here.
You bet. It's going to continue to go up because that's what it always has in all of history. This is nothing new here. The government being bankrupted and people being bankrupt is nothing new. It's been going on for thousands of years, and gold and silver always go up.
But for adjusted for inflation, they're still saying back in the 80s that it was more, that it was worth more. Why isn't, I mean, it seems like our financial system is at more peril now than it was in the 80s. Why isn't it higher?
Yeah, good question. Why isn't it higher? Because a lot of people are really stupid about it. That's why.
Well, I could answer that one, too. Back in the 80s, in late 70s, early 80s is what you're talking about, Shane, before it sold off in 81 or 82, they counted for inflation more accurately. It wasn't perfect, but it was more accurate. In the last 20 to 25 years, they've had so many adjustments and so many, quote, hedonics and all these little things. They understate inflation horribly right now. So if you counted the true inflation, it's, the whole thing is it doesn't make sense. They try to make it. They try to obfuscate it, big word. But I can tell you this, Magombo, I went over to my favorite Mint Direct gold and silver dealer, Dylan Gage, today. I actually picked up some gold coins, and I had a little chat with him while I was there. And I said, are silver eagles still a month turnaround time? They said, oh, absolutely. You can get gold right away. You bring the money. We got the gold for you right here. Silver, you bring the money, but it's going to take us a month, not because we're that lazy or we're that inefficient. It's because the mint, where they get their silver coin, the Eagles from, doesn't is delayed.
And yeah, so, now let me ask you a question. If you had $10,000 to invest and you put it in silver or gold, which one would you put it in?
Oh, I tell you right now, I would go silver. Now, I bought this for a client of mine, and I can help people get their gold and silver. They had already just bought a bunch of silver just last month when it you know came down. They already bought some silver, so they were trying to round out and be a little bit more even.
Uh-huh.
But they are just like you. I can't mention their name on the air, obviously, but they're like you. They like to not try to be too smart. They buy some every month.
That's exactly the way, you know, that it's been proved that it is the most effective and efficient way to accumulate money to invest. Is it do that dollar cost averaging thing? It works out best for every plan you can come up with.
And that seems like buying some every month. That sounds like something right out of the Mungombo playbook, doesn't it? Okay, so we had a listener who called in from Mansfield, Randy, and he said, and I probably know your answer on this, Mungombo, but he said, "Do you see silver continuing to go up after QE2 ends?"
Well, yes, I do, because I don't think QE2 will end unless it is to initiate QE3. If they ever stop creating money, the whole thing is going down in flames, and they don't want to see that, particularly since the president's election is, what, next year?
Yeah.
Oh, man, are you kidding? No, they don't want the economy to collapse in flames. They can't possibly bring it back in that short of time. You know, here's an interesting statistic I read today from Mises.org. There are now fewer private sector jobs in America than there were in 1998. We've got the private sector jobs have gone down for the last 12 years.
Oh, and government sector have skyrocketed.
Yes. that's the ugly flip side of it. I was really surprised that it was a net deficit.
And here's the I like the fact that you're going to the Von Mises Institute. Is that where you went? Oh, I'm proud of you, Mungombo. I've got to send you a gold star for today.
Okay.
But the guy, I lost my train of thought now. You were talking, the jobs. Do you know the problem with that? And actually, Dan Kofall, I'm going to give him a little plug here. I normally don't do that. He actually came up with the Kofall curve about a year ago. But here's the thing. Most people think as a job is a job is a job. Ooh, that's fine. No. For a government job, if it's $60,000, $70,000 a year, you need 10 or so, 8, 10, whatever, private sector jobs to pay the taxes to cover that one public sector job. So you reach a point of maximum efficiency where once you, the very next government job actually sucks the life force out of the economy. It actually is a drain on economy, and we're way past that equilibrium point.
We're way past. That's why all the deficit spending. There's no other reason for it. They just got to have the money to pay all their friends.
Well, Mungombo, as always, it's wonderful to talk to you, and I'm glad to see that you're you sound great in retirement. You sound like you're just having a ball.
I am. I'll talk to the nice guys like you.
Well, good. Are you playing with the grandchildren, or do you make them go away?
They pretty much we maintain a respectful distance.
So my question is on retirement. I have a retired couple that lives across the street from me. What is your major deal for the day? There's a smoking cigarettes in the garage. What do you do during the day as a retired guy now?
Well, I come over and bum a couple of cigarettes from
them. So smoke cigarettes and drink whiskey all day. All right.
I've been playing a lot of golf.
Okay.
And I really like TV. There's some amazing things on TV if you look around, the History Channel and whatnot.
Oh, absolutely. My son loves the History Channel. Well, hey, Mungombo, I tell you what. If you when you come, not if, but when you come to DFW, or even if you come to San Antonio, I've got some very good connections at some very, very good golf courses, and I know a few people that can hit the ball pretty well, too. Not me. I'm horrible. I'm horrible, but if you ever want to get schooled on a beautiful course,
okay,
just give me a call, and we'll set you up.
Well, that certainly sounds wonderful. Thank you very much for the invite.
All right. Well, take care, and we will talk to you next week.
Okay, Dan.
Take care.
Bye-bye to you, too.
Folks, that was the Mungombo Guru. He's an economist and former contributor to the Daily Reckoning. And next, we are going to have Phil Storr, Director of Commodity Trading at Dillon Gage. And we're going to talk about gold, silver, commodities, and treasuries. That's going to be good.